And as you are, turn to Hebrews 11. We will keep marching through Hebrews 11. This evening we're going to look at verses 8 through 22. Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars in heaven, of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they had went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he, who had received the promises, was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each one of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Let's pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the picture of faith set before us. The picture in this family, the man of faith so set out for us in the Scripture and so exemplified by your work in him and in his family. Lord, we pray that as we take this picture, that you will impress it upon us that we too have faith because we have the same God of promise. Work in us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at Hebrews 11, we are remembering that the author to the Hebrews is encouraging those who are facing persecution, those who are fleeing that persecution which is upon them, we think because of those Judaizers and those others who would say that Christ is not the fulfillment and try to have them return to types and shadows. He's telling them not to shrink back. Jesus is better. The promises of God in Christ are better. And last week we said, as we looked at Abel, as we looked at Enoch, and as we looked at Noah, that faith is pictured there in the devotion of the heart. We talked about Abel worshiping God, and his heart was in it. And that's why he was received. And then we talked about walking with God and how that faith, I think we quoted Sinclair Ferguson, faith is a long walk with God, in the presence of God, with His Word and promises in our hand. And then we said that it's having our lives directed by the Word. And we read, if you recall, from Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 14. And there we read these words, that by this faith, saving faith, a Christian believes to be true whatever is revealed in the Word, for the authority of God Himself speaking therein, and acteth differently upon that which each particular passage contains. And that's what we saw in their lives, and that's what we're going to see again, this time in the life of Abraham, the exemplar of faith. Everywhere that the Scripture goes to talk about faith and to point us to the type of faith that we ought to have as believers, well, it points us to Abraham. And so here is no different. And as we think on this, we see that faith isn't, well, it's not a commodity, right? It's not something that you can bank up. No, it's receiving the promises of God and acting on them. You see that clearly in the life of Abraham, don't you? We're going to see it in 4 points. Even though I held up 3 fingers, no one noticed it. We're going to see it in 4 points. We're going to see, firstly, that faith is obedient to the Word of God. Faith trusts the promises of God. Faith receives testing from God. And then we're going to see the way that faithfulness is experienced. God's faithfulness is experienced. And so for Abraham, he was obedient to the Word of God. He and Sarah trust the promise of God. He passes a test from God. And the way that Abraham experienced the faithfulness of God. So how is Abraham obedient? Well, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. Sounds great, doesn't it? Right? To go out because God has called you. But finish out the sentence. Finish out the sentence not knowing where he was going. Right? Abraham is obedient to God. God comes to him, says, Abraham, go. And he says, okay, Lord, where to? Don't worry about that. Just pack up and go and I'll show you. Right? Get your things together. Go. And so then he goes without knowing the destination. And you get it in verse 13, some of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. You get it in verse 13 that he understands, doesn't he? He understands then that this world, this life, those things which God is going to promise to him are not the final things. He is a pilgrim in this life. He's an exile, a stranger, a sojourner. And so he begins journeying. And so God calls him and he goes. And, well, the reality is faith is like that. Faith is understanding that the Lord knows and taking him at his word. Right? He sets his heart, he sets his mind on the Lord, and he works backwards and lives out of that. It's sort of like this. Faith sees the final destination and working backwards to live in light of that. Right? Isn't that what Colossians tells us? To fix our eyes on things above where Christ is. He's telling us to set our hearts there. And then right after that, he tells us to mortify the flesh, to put to death the things that are earthly in us. Why? Well, because the final destination is with Christ, with God Himself, and God is holy, and that's our final end, and so we live in light of that. Well, that's what Abraham is doing. God says, go to a place I will show you. And so Abraham pulls up tents and he clings to the promise of God because it's more sure than his next breath. God has promised him an inheritance, promised him a place, and that is more sure than trusting in his next breath. And so then Abraham is obedient to the word of God, and he and Sarah trust the promises of God, don't they? Verse 11. So Abraham lives as an alien in the land of promise, as a foreign land, dwelling in tents with his children. They're the heirs. He's looking to the city which has foundations, because he never owned more than a burial plot. And then verse 11, by faith, even Sarah received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Now, don't read this as discounting Sarah. It's actually lifting her up in faith. We often pass by her, right? We make the mistake of looking at her as only the promised child bearer. That's not the way Scripture pictures women of faith. They are equal, co-heirs with us. And so Sarah goes out and she goes everywhere that Abraham does. She has faith too. She trusts the promises of God. Can you imagine that conversation? Honey, put out the fire, pull up the pots, pack up everything you got. We're leaving. Okay, honey, God's told you that. Okay, let's go. Where are we going? I don't have a clue. Right? The Lord hadn't told me that. He just said to go. And so here, she's gone with him now. And now she comes into view here in this passage, bearing a child to Abraham. And that's not her whole purpose. You know the Scripture. You know the Lord. That's not all. That is the lot for women. But she has the same faith as Abraham. And so he says, let's go. God's called us. He's told me that I need to leave. And she goes. I don't remember who said it, but someone said it this way. A man's trust in the Lord seldom rises above his wife's willingness for him to trust in the Lord. It's probably Sinclair Ferguson. I rip him off all the time. But I can't remember, so I won't attribute it to him. But a man's trust in the Lord seldom rises above his wife's willingness for him to trust the Lord. Abraham comes in full of excitement, and Sarah doesn't tamp it. They go. She's trusting the promise of God as well. And then, for 25 years, she follows Abraham. Traipsing around. He loses faith and asks her to do things, and she does them, but she's still following. And God comes to them 25 years later. And He says, you know what? It's time. You're going to have a boy this time next year. And she believes. Now, she laughs, right? She chuckles. He's as good as dead. God comes and says that, and she sort of peeks through in the tent, and she sees him, and she knows that he creaks and cracks and pops when he stands. He can barely walk. He's hunched over at this point. She knows he's as good as dead. She knows he's old. Or she's old. And she laughs. But she believes God. How do I know? Because the next year at that time, Isaac is born. Now, you have to read in between the lines for belief. Right? Think about this. The Apostle Paul is on a ship. It's been stormy. It's been hard. It's been difficult. But he stands up with a word of hope. And he says, men, the Lord has spoken to me in the night. None of you will die. couple more weeks go by. They're still in this hurricane, this tempest, and the sailors try to sneak off. What happens? He stands back up. He says, "Stop them. If you don't stop them, we're all going to die." And they stop them. And, well, they're all saved. And Paul is not a fatalist. He believes in God's promise. He believes in the sovereignty of God. And yet he knows that God ordains the means as well as the ends. The Lord comes. She's 90 years old. Abraham is 99. And he says, "This time next year, you're going to have a child." How do I know that she had faith? Because when God left, when the Lord walked away, she said with somewhat of a chuckle and a glint in her eye, "Let's make a baby." There's no divine stork that delivers a child. Isaac comes in the exact way that all children have come. She has faith. She trusts the promise of God. It's an amazing faith, right? And the author of Hebrews wants you to realize that you too can have this faith because you have the same amazing God who can give life to dead people and give a child to old people. And so then they have faith. And then Abraham, he receives Isaac at last, right? And God comes and tests him by faith. Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. You're made to think here, right? You're made to think here. Because when God comes to him, he emphasizes it, doesn't he? Abraham, "Yes, Lord, take Isaac, your only son. The son that you love, the son of promise, and slay him." Now that's a test, right? At least it would be for me. It would be difficult. But Abraham is a man of great faith. And he uses the logic of faith here, right? He knows that God has said to him, "Through Isaac shall the promises be fulfilled." And so he reasons out that if God's asking me to kill him, he is obviously able to make him live again so that he will have those children and those offspring. And so he holds on to Isaac with an open hand, doesn't he? He trusts the Lord. The Lord has given him to him. The Lord is asking him of him. He holds on with an open hand. And he holds on to the promise of God tightly. That's faith. That's faith that he has. And it actually leads to security in faith. Have you ever noticed that when you hold on to things loosely and you hold on to God's promise tightly and you reason with the logic of faith, that your faith is more secure even though you're giving up? Or willing to give up, or able to give up so many things. And yet, your faith is more secure. Because what really plagues us most often, well, I say us, what really plagues me most often is my own insecurity, because I don't really trust God. I don't really take Him at His word. I don't really hold on to His promises as more sure than my next breath. And so I forget the logic of faith. That even if He asks me to give this up, He has something far better. And He's able to fulfill His promises for me. And so we sing with Luther, don't we? "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also." You're all singing it now. I saw your heads bobbing. Well, the reality is faith is willing to do just that? Should the Lord test you in that way? And then you get God's faithfulness to Abraham, don't you? His faithfulness to His promises in the remaining verses. Right? You're reading it, and He's dealt pretty well with Abel, dealt pretty well with Enoch, deals pretty well with Noah, takes up a lot of verses with Abraham, and now you get to these verses about his offspring and how God is going to fulfill His promises, and it's like this. Well, it's because it's not really about them. It's still about Abraham. And God being faithful to His promises to Abraham. In these verses, right? In these verses, verses 20 through 22, you begin to see Abraham experience the faithfulness of God. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. The faith that was given to Abraham is now being fulfilled in his offspring. Right? You know how it plays out. The promises to Isaac and then to Jacob and then Joseph. And they're down there in Egypt. There are only 70 of them that go in. But Joseph looks forward. He remembers the promise given to his great-great-grandfather. Right? 400 years they'll serve here. But then I'll bring them out. And Joseph, knowing the truth of that promise, knowing that it's more sure than anything in this world, says, listen, God's going to visit you, and when He does, take me out of this place. So God's faithfulness, the faithfulness that He has to His promises. And so we're talking about God's faithfulness to Abraham and to his grandsons, or to his son, his grandsons, his great-grandsons, and his great-great-grandsons that Abraham wouldn't even see with his own eyes. But by faith, he tasted God's faithfulness to His covenant promises. He's writing to those who are being persecuted and who are tempted to go back. Right? They would have had opportunity, right, to go back to that country from which they went out. And he's writing to those who are being persecuted, who are being told, it's easier if you turn back. But he's reminding them through Abraham that faith is looking forward to what's better. And so he gives them the example of Abraham. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we give You thanks for Your mercy.